And so, Pastor Ron, are you ready? Our congregation, are you ready? Yes. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Ron Hairston?
God bless you. Thank you. The man of God is prophetic. He said, I brought 100, right?
Yeah.
I did bring 100.
Did you?
Yes. Only brought 30 in, praise God. Amen. So, yeah, I only brought 30 in, so you're right on point with that, praise God. Amen. So we prophesied by faith, amen. It's interesting, when I was in the hotel room and the Lord spoke to me tonight, he said, everybody here tonight gets the book free. I said, free? So we do have a special, a better price than $8 tonight. So I don't know, maybe, can I get the young man there, amen? Can you come and help me real quick? Pass out some of these books, amen, and make sure that, I think I got enough here. Let me see, I'm not even gonna count, but praise God. If we don't have enough, there's some more in the car. So that's my gift to you tonight. I want you to receive it in Jesus' name. And I want you to be so blessed by it that you want to purchase the next book you get. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Amen. Praise God. This is a good book. Amen. I have many assignments in the Lord. One of my major assignments is to feed his sheep and feed his lambs. Amen. To feed God's people. Amen. Not so much to build a gathering, but amen, to empower people in their walk, in their relationship with the Lord. Because I've come to know that, raise your hand if you need, or does somebody else need one? Okay, we good. Sound, don't forget the sound man. Amen. Man, we need him, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah. But this book is a powerful book. It came out of a revelation that God gave me. And it really talks about the authority that we have as believers. Sometimes we wait on being commissioned to have the authority when we already been born into the authority that God has given us. And sometimes the problem is that we're so busy doing other things that we don't do the eternal mandate that God has called us as believers. So this book is a good book, a good reminder of that. It took me a lot to get through this book because anytime you're doing the work of the Lord, the enemy don't go on vacation. It just seems like he just starts to heighten up things. Amen. So many of you may not know this. Previously, I had prostate surgery. Amen. In June. And that was by surprise because I was supposed to go to the Dominican Republic and do a ministry over there. And I had to cancel that trip because what was discovered, I thought I had high blood pressure. But what happened was I think they were treating me for that and because I was sick. And I didn't know what was, I thought I ate some bad chicken salad. That's what I thought. I thought it was. I kept blaming the chicken salad. So the doctor kept looking at me and said, yeah, right. So my blood pressure was up very, very high. And God blessed me to be able to go to the hospital, which I was able to go. The doctors, amen. How many know they're trying to discover what's going on with your body? Because sometimes even you don't know. Praise God. But it's interesting, on that Saturday, after I'd been in there a couple of days, got the blood pressure down, they were going to let me go. And as a doctor from Nigeria came in, he says, I'm not sure if we're going to let you go yet. And we have been praying, God, this reveal, show, whatever's going on, because he knows everything, praise God. So what happened was, amen, God blessed, and the guy from Nigeria, he said, we're going to do an ultrasound on your stomach before we let you go. And I said, well, okay. So after they did the ultrasound, he came back in the room. He was very quiet and knew something was up. And I said, well, what's going on? He says, your prostate is swollen. And you're containing containing a lot of water in your bladder. So I said, wow. He said, we got to put a catheter in you and find out. That's an experience I don't want to. Just thinking about it, I just went there, you know. Lord, help me. Okay, I'm back. All right, praise God. They had to put the catheter in, and the catheter, they come to find I had 2 liters of water on me. My bladder had swelled up that much. I'm surprised it didn't. But the water had started backing up. And so they was able to get the water off. And then finally they had some testing done. Thank God it wasn't cancerous. Amen. Had the surgery done. Amen. Got surgery done sometime in June, the latter part of June. And that went real well. And then July, recovery and all that. So as you see, I'm here today. Amen. Because the devil was hollering, let him go Saturday. Let him, just release him. Remember, they were going to release me because of my blood pressure being okay. Not knowing that I had all that water. So if they released me, I would not be here today. I would be with the Lord. Amen. And that would be all right with me. May not be all right with my wife and grandkids and my son. Amen. Praise God. And the church. Praise God. But God is good enough, amen, to preserve our lives. And how he interrupted that, it was awesome to experience that. And I'm grateful for all the prayers from overseas, prayers that were here. And I'm grateful, amen, because I told the devil, I said, you know what, you may have done, allow this to happen because there's infirmity and sickness and disease, but Jesus has paid the price for it. And I said, you done touched the wrong body. I said, the Bible says when you catch a thief, sevenfold return. I changed it. I said, no, I want a tenfold return. Tenfold, amen, praise God. So I'm here today, amen, thanking God for my health and my healing. Thanking God for your prayers. You pushing your way tonight, because how many know it was a push? I mean, it should have been a press. It don't come easy, because the devil don't make it easy. Is that all right? But God, amen, is still for his children. He's for us today, amen? Well, let's pray and get right into the word tonight, amen. I got something good for you, amen. Our faith is being empowered, because that's what we talked about. So we're going to pray now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given us before these kings and priests that are called by your name. And we're so excited about what you're doing in Kaiser, West Virginia, God. Kaiser, West Virginia. It is an anointed place, God. It's a place that you have put your hand upon, even before all the mountains that we're surrounded by. All the prayers has been prayed over the centuries out of this place, God. And we're the people, amen, that are benefiting from those prayers. And we thank you even now for allowing us to be in this ministry, in this church. Thank you for the pastor, amen, Gordon and Debbie Brubaker, and what you're doing in their lives, Father. We pray for every person that's here and those who are under the sound of our voice, that you would bless us, God. Help us to come to a place of revelation and understanding, impartation, empowerment, God, that we can begin to understand that we, who you've called us to be, is much greater than who we think we are. And Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for all that you would say and do tonight. We need overflow tonight. We need an outpouring tonight. We need a stirring tonight, God. We need a stirring in Kaiser. We need a stirring in our hearts and our minds. We need a stirring all over the city, God, and you're the one that's able to do that, God. So Lord, even as we come before you today, using the authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus, we're the only governmental agency in the earth that has the authority to use the name of Jesus and get help from heaven. So Lord, we ask for help that would be poured out tonight, God. We bind the enemy and all his devices, God, how they will not prevail in this city, in our lives, God, over this church, over the churches in this city, God. We want them to prosper as you said that they shall be, God. So Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor and thanksgiving for what you shall do tonight, God. We yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My God, come Holy Ghost, do what you do best. Come on and fill this vessel. Come on, fill it up, amen. Fill it up to the degree that you minister to the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, God, amen, for what you shall say, what you shall do, God, what you shall allow us to see, what you will allow us to hear, God. Amen. We thank you, God, for confirming your word with miracles, signs, and wonders, God. We thank you, God, for allowing us to remember where you brought us one from so we can give you praise and not looking at where we are right now, but what you have done for us, God. Help us, God, even now this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. My. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, since I've been down here, amen, I know we're going to get into word here in a minute, but Kaiser High School has just bothered me. It has bothered, you know, I'm going to tell you why it bothered me, that it's ran down and it's to the degree and the windows are boarded up, and you know, that just disturbed me. So since I've been away last year, I've been declaring that God will do something in Kaiser High School. that he would cause it to be resurrected. If it's not used as a high school, it'll be occupied in some type of way so it's not abandoned. How many know God doesn't like abandoned buildings? Amen. That's naturally and spiritually. Is that all right? He wants to occupy. So I need you to join your faith with me, because I believe, this is what I believe. Most people don't believe this. Amen. When we pray, it's an invite for God. When we pray, it's an invite for God. In other words, when the church don't pray, God don't move. Somebody said, well, he sees what's going on, which that's not how it works. He sees what's going on, but you're the authority he's going to use in order for things to move. Come on now. See, the old way of teaching, we taught people we need to wait on God. Wait on a move of God. How many know that Jesus is that move? And when he moved, touch your neighbor, say, he moved in you. So if he moved in you, that means he wants to move what? Through you. And the one of the ways he moves through us, amen, is when we understand our authority. We don't wait on God to move. We invite him to move. I said, 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 we invite him to move. We have the authority to invite him to move. Are you hearing me now? That's powerful, because we're talking kingdom talk tonight already. Amen, because we're talking about who we are in Christ and the authority he's given us in Christ. There was a time we were waiting on a move of God. Remember, he wants to move through us. Remember, we've been talking about something, amen, that we've kind of ignited, and it's already starting right now. It's already, whether you believe it or not, it's been decreed, it's been declared, amen, that our expectation of these meetings this week is based upon hearing the word of God. The more you hear God's word, the more you have faith for God. How many know that most people don't know this? What you don't hear, this is just so good, amen, amen. Listen, what you hear is what you have faith for. In the natural, so it is in the spirit. What you have, my God, what you hear, you have faith for. What you hear, you have faith for. It's a principle. What you hear, you have faith for. Marketing tools over the United States have taken this principle and they use it. What do you mean they use it? It's called commercials, marketing. How does marketing work? They want something in your ear and in your eye. Hello? Hello? Eventually, they want to get it where? In your heart. Come on now. Because once they get it in your heart, amen, then you know what? You're going to carry it out. You're going to see it through. Am I talking right today? Yeah. See, some principles, we fail to realize that we miss the principles in our teaching concerning Christ, because the principles are the tie to us living life the way he said we need to live. Remember, Jesus said, I come that you may have and have it more what? We're trying to have church. Because that's what we've been trained. We've been trained to have church and have service. How many know he wants to take it to another dimension? He wants us to have life. And what then he said, have it what? More abundantly. We're living in a time now that more believers are depressed. More believers are frustrated. More believers at the point they want to give up. They want to leave the local church. They're trying to find something other than what they've been experiencing, because they don't understand. They haven't heard, amen, enough about the true message of Jesus. It's not about a service, but teach you how to live life his way. Are you hearing me today? Oh, I said overflow tonight. Praise God. And that thing has kicked in already. Praise God. Because God wants his children to understand that the blood of Jesus costs too much for you to carry your sorrows, even waiting for you to go to heaven. Too much for you to believe that there's no way out when he's already made a way for you. Amen. By God, do you hear me today? Marketing, amen. You will not have faith for it unless you hear it. What you hear, you will have faith for. So that's important. That means you have to protect what you hear. That's important. That means you have to protect what you what? Some conversations, amen, I don't get involved with. I have to shut my ear off to that. What do you mean shut your ear? I have to protect my spirit. Why do I need to protect my spirit? Because if I don't protect my spirit, that word and those impressions will get in my spirit. Is that making any sense? The Bible said, guard your heart, for out of it flows what? Then he said, life and death are in the power of the. That means our heart and our mouth is connected. Our heart and our mouth is connected. That means our heart and our mouth is connected. Our heart and our mouth is connected. See, the enemy knows how these things connect in us, and he works those things against us. The Bible said that in John 10 and 10, Jesus said, I come that you may what, have life and have it more abundantly. Then it says, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. What is it so important that you and I have that he wants to steal? It's your faith. Remember, we talked about this morning. Remember, your faith consists of. Remember, most people don't even know. Most people, what I'm giving you today is by revelation. You won't get this out of a book. What I'm giving you, I didn't get this out of a book. God told me, he spoke to me and said, Ron, tell the people that their faith consists of what? Their confidence in God. Remember, we talked about that this morning. Your faith consists of your confidence, what? In God. So we all have different levels of faith depending upon our confidence in God. Not only that, but our faith, now when we have our faith, amen, our confidence in God, number two is our confession. Because most believers are saved, but they're bound by their confession. Jesus has set them free in their spirit, but they can't experience liberty because their confession keeps binding them. They keep saying the same old thing. And if you listen carefully, what you will hear is fear, doubt, and unbelief. It's not that God can't. It's like, will he? Maybe he will. Oh, I'm waiting on him. Come on. So that's two. Our faith, confidence in God. Number two, amen, our confession. Number three, amen, this is a big one right here. Touch the name, say, this is a big one. Put your seatbelt on, strap in on this one, praise God. Oh, this is a big one right here. This big one is called obedience. Most people don't know the highest form of worship is not a song. It's obedience. When we're obedient, listen, when Samuel, amen, the Bible says that Samuel, amen, had to go to Saul because Saul had destroyed a city and God told him to destroy everything in that city and don't bring anything back. And what did he do? What did he save? He saved sheep. Why did he save the sheep? He said the sheep was fat. They were just beautiful. And you know what? God likes sacrifices. So we're going to save the sheep. So God can what? He can sacrifice the sheep because God likes sheep. Listen, the sacrifice of praise should lead you to obedience. Sometimes we just leave it to the praise and worship and we think we hit the throne of God and God's like, God's like, woo, 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 good. God's like patting his feet, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your praise and worship should lead you to obedience. Yes. Are you hearing me? Some might say obedience. Obedience. See, there's some things that the body of Christ is not being obedient to that God said that we should be obedient to. One is the renewing of our mind. The other one is it has to deal with allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come inside of us. Because we're breaking up in behavior traits because we don't yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, nine fruits of the Holy Spirit has to deal with behavior traits. Oh, I'm preaching up in here today. You want to see a church come together, let them, amen, get filled of the Holy Spirit and then yield into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see forgiveness in there. You're going to see love in there, forbearance in there, long-suffering. All that's coming amongst the saints. And then we don't fall out with one another because you got red shoes on and mine is blue, amen. And then you don't fall out because you know what? You raise your hand one way, I raise mine the other way. And we're always getting caught up in things that we shouldn't get caught up in because the enemy knows if I can keep them from understanding how faith works in them and what they need to do to develop their faith, I'll keep them in confusion and God cannot do what he needs to do in and through them. But I'm here to tell you not the devil, amen, his time is up. He's a liar of all lies. God is not going to allow us to be crippled any longer as a church, amen. Revelation truth is going to be poured out from heaven, and even tonight the heavens are open all over the earth because God is going to pour out fresh revelation because revelation gives us divine insight into the will and the purpose of God, what he needs to do in our heart, our life, not when we get to heaven, but right now. Whew. That's what my one granddaughter does. She tickled me. She's 3 going on 25. But and sometimes she'll get so excited, she'll go. And she ain't but that tall, but she'll just. Somebody say amen tonight. Yeah. Lord, we in the overflow already. My God. I ain't read one scripture yet. Praise God. Yes, I have. It came out of my spirit tonight. Came out of my spirit to your spirit tonight. Touch your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. Look at them and say, you are blessed and highly favored. Now listen, if you heard that all week long, ooh, you'd be like, you'd be looking for devils. Okay, where they at? Where they at? Oh, there's one over here. Oh, come on, let's go get him, right? Yeah. But no, sometimes we're not hearing that. You're hearing things through our family members that weigh on your spirit, block your identity. Sometimes our bodies are not aching, and sometimes it's speaking to us. Sometimes it's the bills that we have at home. They're speaking to us. Something's always speaking to us. But I'm here to tell you today that you don't have to listen to everything. I'm so glad I don't have to listen to everything. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll cut folks off in a minute. Yes, I will. Sometimes people come in. I know people who haven't grown in the ministry, sometimes they come in and have that same scenario. They come in. Here they come. I change the conversation. Like, they be talking. I change. Hey, did you notice? No, I didn't know. Then they forget what they said. Come on now. You know Jesus did that a lot of times. People be talking. He'll say something contrary to what they said to get their mind off of that. Is that making any sense? Turn to 1 John, if you will, with our time we got left. It. Now, y'all laughing. We do it this early. Some people was like, well, what's wrong with them? No, we're just free. Free. I'm just free. I've learned to be free. Amen. Wherever I go, if I'm here, I'm free. If I'm in Africa, I'm free. If I'm in the Dominican Republic, I'm free. Wherever I am, you'll see me just the way you see me. This is who I am. Amen. God has made me this way. I protected my identity. I protected everything he's given me. And now I try to be like what everybody else says I need to be. I need to be like he called me to be and do the thing that he called me to do. Even though it may not be like what everybody else is doing, I want to make sure I'm doing what he called me to do. Can y'all say amen? 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. When you're there, just say amen. Amen. Remember, we talked about our faith, amen? I gave you scriptures to point that out so to show you that I wasn't just telling you that. I wanted you to know, amen, that the Bible talks about your faith a lot, amen. Praise God. So one of the scriptures that we found is 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God, it says what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Now, that's powerful because what this is simply saying is your faith, amen, has to be developed in order to get victory. No, I'm praying, Jesus, give me the victory. Give me the victory, Jesus. Give me the victory. And Jesus said, you got the victory. Now we need to experience the victory. Yes. How many know you can have something and not experience it? Yes. My wife, I told her a lot of times, she got this thing on HSN. That's an anointed channel. Never turn there. Turn it off because it's of the devil. It's of the devil. Just turn it off. Turn it off. She'd be up late at night, you know. And I said, what are you doing? And everything, this brown truck comes up in them 2 days later, amen, dropping this off and dropping. I said, honey, where are you? She said, I don't even have to leave the comforts of our home to go shopping. I can shop HSN. And it's a, y'all know, some of y'all laughing, y'all know what it is, amen. But what I'm trying to say is that it's funny because I have to tell her a lot of times, you know, honey, you need to let that go. And the reason why is because we don't understand that when we have, there's nothing wrong with the channel. Let me just say that because I might get in trouble, amen. Might get some letters from HSN, you know. But the thing tonight is that her staying up, ordering those things, that's something that she desires to do, which is good. But the thing tonight, amen, in our scripture, it talks about faith, our faith. Our faith is tied to how we get victory. And we have the victory. See, by faith we have it, but we have to experience it. So our faith entitles us to experience it. Is that all right? How many remember the children of Israel in Hebrews chapter number 4? Don't turn there. How many remember the children of Israel in bondage 400 years? God sends a preacher down. His name is Moses. Y'all remember that? And he went down, he preached to them and tells them, amen, that God's going to deliver them. The only thing that God tells them first, he said, I'm going to deliver you. And he did that. You would think that would be enough. No, he says, now, after I deliver you, now I'm going to lead you somewhere, which is called what? Canaan land. Is it making any sense? He tells them this, I'm going to take you to Canaan land because where there's a place I prepare. What, why be safe from Egypt wandering in the wilderness and not have a place to go? So God has already thought it through that just, not only am I going to save you from being a slave, I'm going to change your identity because I have the ability to do that. Then I'm going to put in your position and I'm going to take you to the place where you can experience Canaan land, but you must add your faith to the message in order for that to happen. I need your confidence in me that I'm going to do it. I need you to stop talking about Egypt and start confessing, amen, where you're going, even though you're not there. And they had a problem with that. They kept on talking about what? Egypt. Kept on talking about Egypt. Come on. You want to smack them, say, you've been in bondage for 400 years, amen. Why are you talking about something he's already, what, shut down, delivered you from? Now you got to have your confession upon what he says. Your confession, amen, leads the way to your obedience. Yes. And then finally, they got their obedience, confession, right? And the Bible says they finally got it to the degree they had done that. And when God sent out in the book of Numbers, 14th chapter, he sent out 12 spies. And this was their last test. This was their last test. Remember what I told you this morning? It's the trials of your faith. Remember I told you when you go through something now, Jesus ain't on trial anymore. That only happened one time. He was on trial one time. That was it. If the trials we experience, that's your trying of your faith. The trying of your faith in those three areas. Are you going to have confidence in God? Or are you going to lose confidence when the trial comes? Are you going to lose? Do you have a confession? Or did you build a confession while you were in your trial? Come on now. And third, obedience. You want to make sure you're acting right. Because sometimes we can't come out where the enemy says, you know what, I can't hold him anymore, but their behavior is not lined up right, so I'll bring that as an accusation of, and I know it's true. because what? God's not going to bless us if our attitude is not right. Does that make any sense? So the thing I love about this, amen, is that when the children of Israel sent out the 12 spies, the Bible said 10 came back with an evil report. Look what God called evil when you don't agree with me. When you change the order of things, and I didn't give you the permission to change it. He said, I told you to go in and spy out the land. They went looking at the people. It went from the land to the people. Hello? How many know you got to be careful with the details that God gives you? Come on. All right. Come on. Come on, because the devil's in the details. Come, are you hearing me? Y'all heard that before, didn't y'all? It ain't in the Bible, but there's some truth to it. Praise God. It ain't in the Bible. Yeah. He told them to spy out the land. He never told them to look at the people. They went and looked at the people. And their report was on the people, not on the land. He said, and basically God said, go and tell them what I said the land is. God said, I already know what it is. I'm telling you, amen, what it is. But they need evidence, so I'm going to send these 12 out. So here's your assignment, 12. Are you here with me? Yeah, I got it. Okay, Moses, tell them, go out, spy out the land. 10 come back, and they start out okay. That's how we do in church. We start out okay, but we don't end up okay. Yeah, we start out okay, but we end up in a mess. Hey, come on, am I talking right? But thank God for his grace upon our life. The Bible says that what happens is, this is what, the 10 come back and they say, oh, the land is filled with milk and honey. It's everything that God said it's going to be. But anytime you put but in there, what you're going to do is change the contents of that statement that you just made, because there's no period behind it. You're going to add something else to it. And they added their persuasion was on the situation. On the situation. Their situation. They said, listen, the people, you know what, are much bigger than we are. We're like grasshoppers unto them. And then they said, they had the nerve to say this. This is powerful. They had the nerve, after all God brought them through, they had the nerve to say, we're not even able to go in. It's like we've been walking by ourselves all this time. You know what, and God ain't nowhere around. You're on vacation. That was their perception. See, if you're not careful, your perception will keep God locked out. Because what you perceive is what you see. That's why the Bible says, why we look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. When I was in the hospital, the devil was just talking to me left and right. He said, you're going to die up in here. I was feeling bad. Ugh, didn't feel like praying in the spirit. Hello, somebody. I was, I was in pain. But thank God I already fed my spirit before I got to that place. Are you hearing me? It was my spirit man talking to me. And when he would say things in my mind and telling me, when doctors come in, they're looking, amen, they didn't know what to do. They're looking at me like a, you know, yeah. But you know what? I had something to hold on to, which is called a word of faith. See, what you feed your spirit eventually will come out. Anybody doing any gardening lately? Guy was gardening one time, his garden in his backyard. So proud of his garden. Bought some seeds. Planted the seeds. Harvest came up, turnips. He said, I ain't want no turnips. He never paid attention to the package. That's the way the body of Christ says, we want different things, but we're planting. Oh, we believe for it. We believe for it. He believing for something different. We're believing for something, but in the details, what are you planning? Or are you planning? You're planning something, whether you're planning, you think you're not, you're planning something. Am I talking right? When I was in the hospital, amen, I'm so glad that God, amen, he spoke to me. He showed me, he showed me coming out before I got out. The children of Israel, two came back with what? Yeah. You know what the good report was? Just say what God said. You know what? They said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. Everything that God says, and not only that, it's so good, we can go up right now and go get our stuff. We can go get it right now. Joshua and Caleb, we can go up right now and get it. Because why? The equation of, listen, their perception, amen, wasn't on the people. Yeah. Listen, you will never get beyond where you need to go unless you get over people. Yes. People can't hold you. You hold yourself. Yeah. It's time to let it go. Yeah. I love that commercial. Let it go app. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a tornado going on, and it's a mother holding on to the crib, and her daughter's off in the mist, who's grown in her 20s. She says, Mom, let it go. She's in the car getting ready to leave her. Mom, let it go. Because she was holding on to it, because she remembers when the child was little, and now she's 23 years old, but she don't want to let it go because that crib belongs really to somebody else. How many know you can't really grow in God till you let some things go? You got to let it go. Touch the neighbor, said, we got to let it go. So remember Joshua and Caleb. Remember the Bible tells us that what they said, listen, they said that we're more than able. I said we're more than able because in the equation of them getting what they need to get, God was with them. Most believers in the church don't believe that God is with them. They believe they got to pray to get God to get on their side. They got to fast. They got to do all the other to get God on their side. We got to get God on our side. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And we're working ourselves when we shouldn't have to work. When we understand our faith says he's already here. Woo, glory to God. Now we just need to experience him. And how we experience him has to deal with our confession, amen, and our obedience. Somebody said our confession and our obedience. How many know this is a learning way? It's a learning way. Remember we read the scripture, amen, John 5 and 4. It says that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory to overcome our world, even our faith. Turn with me to Ephesians. We talked about that this morning. I just want to hit this point here. Are y'all learning anything tonight? Amen. I believe, amen, God is stirring us up, amen, to get out of the boat. Amen. Stirring us up, amen, to follow and do what he's called us to do and change our confession, amen. Get our confidence back in God. I thank God for the pastor when he's praying. Help renew our confidence back in you, Father. And not only that, but help us to get our confession back right in what? In you, God. And help us to be obedient to what you called us to do, amen. Because why? It's never too late because God, no one fails in God's school. It just takes some of us a little longer than others. And that's called grace, amen. God wants us, amen, to grow up and understand that there's some things that we have not been entitled to because we didn't develop our faith. We didn't have faith for it, amen. We didn't believe for it. We didn't believe it was able to even happen, amen. That God can what? I can say something and it can happen, amen, according to his will? Yes, it can. Somebody said it's just that easy. Ephesians 2, amen, amen. Let's look at this scripture, amen. Let's look at the 9th verse. Not of works of at least any man should boast. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 9. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Did y'all hear that? Amen. There's some things that you and I, we walk in them, but we walk in them by faith. Remember, the just shall walk by what? Come on, talk to me, Bible talkers. The just shall walk by what?
Faith.
Come on, the just shall walk by what?
Faith.
The just shall walk by what?
Faith.
See, faith is having an intellectual knowledge of the word. It's not a feeling. That ain't how he wants us to walk. Faith is having an intellectual knowledge of God's word. It's when you know that you know that you know you know that what he's decreed and declared is true. And then you look for any instructions inside of it. Instructions, amen, now will cause you to bow your will, amen, to a place of surrendering. And when you're surrendering, then it's not your will anymore. It's his word working in and through you. Jesus said many times, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. What he's surrendering his self-will, his intelligence. Amen. Amen. All God gave us all that, but he didn't tell us to rely upon that. Amen. He told us to rely upon him through revelation knowledge, through our intelligence. Amen. To receive what he has for us tonight. I'm talking some truth up in here tonight. We went deep tonight. We got scuba divers, spiritual scuba divers, and we just... Come on now, amen, because God wants us, amen, because we think it's deep, but it's practical. These are practical truths that we need as believers. And if we got it inside of us, then we wouldn't have heard a lot of stuff that we should have been hearing and repeating what we heard because it wasn't true, amen. But we'd be tied to something we know that it can be experimented in our life, that we have a witness in our life that shows us that God can do things that's far beyond what we can imagine. And then life becomes a little bit more joyous, and not because of the song, because I'm seeing the power of God working in my life, in my children, in my wife, amen, in my neighborhood, amen. Everywhere I go, amen, he just seems to be working everywhere I go. I got here in Kaiser, he was working here. Then when I got pulled up to the hotel, I'm supposed to have a single room. I said, listen, can you move the room from where the elevator is? There's a traffic there. There's a lot of noise. I'm kind of tired. Can you move me away from the elevators, amen? Talking to the young man, here come the manager. The manager said, what's going on? What do you need, amen? She said, well, move him down here, amen. And this room, she said, well, that room is not a single, it's a double. And, you know, and she said, that's all right. I mean, we're not going to charge him for it, amen, praise God. God always moving somewhere. If you believe that he's able, amen, he will do it for you. One time I was in Canton, Ohio, amen, doing ministry up here, and I forgot my coat, Pastor. I ain't had no coat. I said, well, I ain't driving all the way home 2 hours to get no coat. Amen. Had to do ministry. And God said, go to the Goodwill. I said, go to the Goodwill. You've given many times to the Goodwill, Ron. You know what it is. So I pulled up in the Goodwill and said, when God tells you to go somewhere, there's something there for you. So I went to walking. My wife calls it anointing, shopping in the anointing. That's what my wife called it. I used to hear her say that all day. I didn't know what that meant, but that day I felt the anointing. Amen. And I'm walking. And it dropped in my spirit. I said, I always wanted a leather coat. How many know he'll give you the things that you want? I'm walking and walking. Sure enough, leather coat on the rack. I looked around. I picked the coat up. It's like I was putting on a pair of gloves. It's just, I said, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know, immediately, price. I said, I know this leather coat, no cuts on it, not black. It was beautiful. I said, the price, I almost started shouting. Price for the coat was $5. I ran up to the cash register, you know, gave my little money, went out with my coat. That night I was preaching the coat that night. And how much you think this coat cost? Everybody, I said, $5. $5. And they heard me talk about how God blessed me. And then the next day, everybody at that over at and see, that's how we do. We're groupies, you know. We hear something, and if it's working that way, then we all went over there. But what they didn't hear is that God told me to go. Are y'all hearing me tonight? This is good stuff. Look at them, they said, your faith is getting empowered tonight. How many believe their faith is getting empowered tonight? I want to read this in the Amplified. I'm almost done. I am for tonight. But in Ephesians 2 and 10, listen what this says in the Amplified. We are God's own handiwork. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, handiwork. The first thing that God, in elementary teaching of God, God told me, he said, Ron, if you want to grow, you got to personalize what I tell you through the scripture. You got to personalize it. He said, because what I said here through the Apostle Paul, I said to all my believers. He said, many of them will hear it and quote it, but they won't believe it. And then they can't go on to what the verse wants to say. Are y'all still with me? Come on now, I only got about 7 minutes. Stay with me, I'm almost there, praise God. So look at your neighbor and say, hello, handiwork. Then it says, his workmanship. Now I like this because it says this word, recreated. Ooh, that just messed with me. Because anytime you find the word re, that means it had something had to be what? Returned or replaced. The original state of who we were in Adam, praise God, because as God made Adam, Adam was a speaking spirit too. But yet he was in a natural body. He lost his ability to operate in that because of his disobedience, him and his wife. And then it fell upon all of us, the Bible says in the book of Romans, because of one man's disobedience, we all have become what? Sinners. But then the Bible says, but by one man's obedience or righteousness, we have all been declared believers or declared righteous. Hello, righteous one. You know what the word righteous means? You know what the word righteous means? Come on, when God said you're righteous, he says, listen, you're on my right side with me. God said, you're right with me, Ron, and I'm right with you. And nothing can enter, you know, it's just, you know, me and you. He said, nothing can interfere with that. It's an eternal thing, Ron, you and I. And nothing can interrupt that. Touch Nate said, you have to personalize the scripture. Yeah, yeah. Touch your neighbor. Say, yeah, I'm talking to you in church. yeah. Now notice what it says. Let me get here for my time's sake. Listen. Are y'all still with me? It says recreated, and that's through Christ. That's being born again, because we've been born again. We've been what? Recreated, amen. In what? Christ Jesus, born anew. Somebody say born anew. Then it says that we should do the good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he had prepared ahead of time. Yes. Then it says here, it talks about, amen, that we should walk in them living the good life. Yes. Yes. If you don't get anything tonight, you need to build your faith up and say, you know what? I'm tired of just living life. I want to have faith for living the good life. I don't just want to live. I want to live the good life. When you declare it, you're saying, God, you said that I can live, amen, a good life. Not a life of struggle. Not a life of pain. Not a life, oh, I'm just tired and I'm trying to climb the mountain 99 and a half. No. We're going to live a good life. I like that. He said, listen, he says, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. The good life. You know what? You need to develop a good faith confession. You know what a faith confession is that, you know what? No more sorrow for me. I'm believing God that he's going to anoint me and grant me favor to live what? A good life. What am I simply saying here? Turn this last scripture, amen. I thought that was going to be the last one. It's not. We talked about this, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it in 1 Timothy. No, 2 Peter. Come on, Ron. Where are we at here? 2 Peter, amen, 1. Come on, 2 Peter 1. Come on. We're almost there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You deserve a good life. Jesus said, my blood, amen, that I shed for you, prepared a way for you to live a good life. And most people believe that, but what we tie it to is heaven. My God. Oh, I know when we get to heaven, we're going to live a good life. No, he said, I come that you may have life. Come on, life. He said, everywhere he preached, he said, listen, I know that many of you don't know who you are, but because of Abraham's covenant with God, Abraham being the father of faith, there was no faith given that needed to be given at that time because there was no need for covenants, amen. After the man fell in the garden, God had to establish covenants with man. And the covenant means when God said, I'm a promise, you've fallen, I can't count on you to do anything, amen, but I'm going to swear by myself, amen, and make a covenant with you. And when I say I'm going to covenant with you, that means I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. So we have Abraham, the father of faith. Amen. What is Abraham? He's learning to put his faith in who? God. Amen. The speaking spirit, amen, that created the heavens and the earth, that tells him to leave a land that he don't even know where he's going. You need to just follow my voice, and then I'm going to see that everything else is going to be prepared for it. Just do what I tell you to do. And he messed up. But because God said, it's a covenant, I promise. It ain't on you. Touch your neighbor and say, it ain't on you to live a good life. It's on you to receive the good life. Oh, yeah, that's a difference now. To receive it, that means you're not confessing your woes, amen. You're not confessing, amen, what everybody else is talking about on TV, NBC, ABC, amen, CNN, God, and even what's going on with the White House. Who cares on what goes on in the White House, amen? There's somebody else that's in charge, amen, that before that person was in, and before that person was in charge. Jesus says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness what thereof, and we're dwelling in that place. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm talking to you today. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm talking to you. Some of y'all is like in deer in the headlights. Some of you, ooh, is he going to be all right? Yeah, I'm going to be fine. Praise God. I'm just being a cheerleader for Jesus right now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What did I say? Amen. Second Peter, there it is. Second Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter 1 and 2. I'm all over the place. Amen. I'm trying to bring it in. Amen. 2 Peter. Somebody say 2 Peter. Oh, there we go. Amen. Talk to me so I can get on track here. Amen. 2 Peter. Amen. 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 Chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Are y'all there? Remember, I read this morning. It says, Simon Peter, the servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious praise. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our what Lord. In the Amplified, it reads a little bit different, but it points out the things in the Amplified I'm going to talk about. Amen. We're just 5 minutes left. Amen. 5 minutes I already asked you, amen, for, and then we're going to let you go. Amen. Amen. Five minutes. Usually when the preacher say 5 minutes, he really means 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. Praise God. Glory to God. At least an hour, you know, at least. Make a touch and they say, help him, Lord. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. So faith, say this with me. Faith in and through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Righteousness is right standing with God. It's not behavior. If we got things based upon our behaviors, we would be broke, disgusted, off the side of the road, amen, be miserable, trying to divorce ourselves, couldn't even find a court to even. But righteousness, amen, right, is right standing with God. And what made us right standing with God was the blood of Jesus. When God looks at every believer, he's not looking at you, he's looking to see if there's some blood applied. When you see the blood, he said, that one's in right standing with me. Everything that I have is theirs. Say this with me. Grace points to God's favor. Touch your neighbor and say, you deserve God's favor. Let me give it to you this way. God's favor is permission to receive an upgrade. Touch your neighbor and say, you need an upgrade. Yeah, upgrade, amen. That's what I got when I came into Kaiser. I didn't even realize. I just said, can you just move the room? That's all I asked. Hey. And again, and she said, you know what? Because she's the manager. Because she had the authority. The change, amen, what was there. And the attendant didn't have the authority. She said, well, that means the price is different. She said, we ain't talking about price. We're talking about moving him past the elevators down here. And we're not going to worry about the price. Why? Because favor ain't fair. It's good when it's working. Such and they said, you need some favor working in your life this week. But you got to expect favor, amen. Don't touch them, say, don't be expecting the same old thing. Well, you know. Yeah, that's the problem, you know. Come on, we got to know something different. Somebody said, know something different. Come on, stay with me. Are y'all getting this? I'm feeding your faith right now. Touch them, say, he's feeding your faith right now. Somebody say, peace. This peace is the Spirit of God governing over a situation. Mm-hmm. Peace is peace is my God. Peace, my God. Peace is God governing over a situation. I've been declaring some things that I want God to do since I got this revelation. He said, you waiting on me to do it? He said, give me permission to do it. That's what he told me. He said, you waiting on me to do it? He said, give me permission to do it. I said, well, you know, it's like God just opened up the candy store. I said, well, you know what? I tell you, you know what? I said, God, can you fix it so that my wife can come off her job? And come home. Because it's on him now. So I prayed that for a while. She's been home for a while now. And when I asked God that, God said, I'm gonna teach you how to live off of less than more. I said, take me to school. Show me, man, praise God. How many know he wants to do that? Are you hearing me? See, that never happened until I asked. Sometimes I asked God one time, God, my sons that are behind me, I said, I want the generational curse that was on me, that was broken through Christ, me receiving Christ. I'm declaring that they will learn through you when they're of age is to marry and have one wife. One's 40-something, the other one's 30-something. They're both married, one wife. In this book I wrote, I was working at a place one day. I'm talking about experiencing God. I heard it was going to close down the plant. I found another believer. We decided to touch and agree and ask God. The scripture said, if you touch and agree upon anything, ask the Father. If it's according to his will, the Bible said he'll do it. So we meet early morning. Company said, well, we're in bidding market, amen, for this product. If we get this product, and we're in a bidding war for two other companies other than ourselves. If we get it, if we win, then it's going to be job promotions, increase. A lot of things are going to take place. We're going to hire more people, but if we don't get it, it's layoff slips. So we just ask God. In the morning, we weren't trying to be all spiritual. We just touch hands and say, God, you said in your word. We need this. We need this. And you know what? We got it. I believe that God is waiting on you to ask him something beyond what you can fix, beyond what you can do, beyond what you've been putting up with. To find it is to ask God, God, can you help me? Are you listening to me? That 5 minutes is almost gone. Somebody said the perfect well-being, perfect well-being. See, this, remember I told you, I said you need to upgrade? This is part of the upgrade. Perfect well-being. Perfect well-being. Listen, perfect well-being. Maturing through negative situations. Coming out better. It's funny. They were looking at my chart. He said, 62 years old. He should have this. He said, well, he don't have none of that. So people kept popping in my room. I kept asking him for water because I was drinking a lot of water. The young man came in. He must have read the chart too. He said, you must have found the youth. Because he must have heard he's 62 years old, but he don't look like he's 62. Somebody said, perfect well-being. Let me use this time here. 2 minutes. Somebody say, all necessary good.
All necessary good.
That means our attitude is set on it working for my good. Our attitude is set on it working for my good. Our attitude is set. You know, when it's set, it doesn't matter. Like the thermostat, when it's set, it's only giving you that degree of temperature regardless. Is that right? There's no fluctuation, amen, in you changing it, unless you change it. But if it's set, there's no fluctuation in the temperature. That's the way our attitude is. Attitude should be set on good. And not let outside circumstances move us from cold to hot. Oh, I'm talking up in here today. Did y'all get that? Let me work this 1 minute now. Praise God. 1 minute. Praise God. Somebody say spiritual prosperity. This is a good one. Increase my praise and my spiritual devotion. Somebody say my praise.
My praise.
My devotion.
My devotion.
You know, God, he loves his children so much. He's looking to see, will they turn to me today? Will they turn? And sometimes God is waiting this early in the morning. He said, they got up. Will they turn? And they don't turn. He said, well, it's almost afternoon. Are they going to turn? It still ain't turn. Evening time. What? Have you turned? And then what? Now it's time to go to bed. He said, they didn't turn today. So God says, he's smiling. Just tomorrow. And he looks to see, will we turn? Because to turn, touch the neighbor and say, to turn. Say, to turn. Takes determination and a voluntary act of your will. to turn to his greatness. And when you keep it before you, it's not hard to turn. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I'll say things like this: Lord, thank you for allowing me to see another day that I never seen before, even though the day is called Sunday. 30 seconds. Freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. What does that look like? Can you imagine just being freedom from fear? Somebody bring you a bad report and you're just like, I don't receive it. You don't have to get all spiritual with them. You just tell yourself, that's not for me. Agitating passions and moral conflict. I'm going to stop there. I got so much more. I guess that's why we had tomorrow night's meeting. Stand on your feet with me. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that comes to mind. It's found in Ephesians 3 and 20. I've learned to quote the scripture. And when I quote it to you, you'll be reminded of what the scripture is. The scripture goes something like this. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that's working within you. To him to be the only wise God, dominion and power and authority through him only. That scripture is an initiator to every believer to do two things: to expand your ability to ask and expand your ability to think beyond what can't not be done. Because with God, all things are possible to them that believe. Father, we thank you tonight. You said this is empowerment week. Woo, my God. And you've told us the empowerment comes through hearing and listening to the word. And we've heard it this morning, and many have gotten empowered. That's why they're back here tonight. And not only that, but many here tonight have heard the word of faith. Amen, in which we preach tonight, and it has energized us once again. It has caused us to remind us that some things that we put up with, it's time for us to speak to our mountains. It's time to speak to the circumstances. It's time even to speak to ourselves. Amen. Declare something different beyond what we've been saying. Amen. Let our confession and our conversation be of heaven and not what we see here on the earth, God. Because all things are possible to them that believe. And that's what you said in your word. You're looking for somebody to believe. Paul said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. I've opened my mouth to believe what I believe I can say, and what I say he can do, because all things are possible to them that believe. God, help us, God. Help us tonight, amen, to use the thing that's underneath our, amen, our nose, God. Amen, it's our mouths, God. Our mouths is the weaponry that you've given us to speak your word, and even to the degree that we can call those things to be not as though they were, God. So tonight we pray in the name of Jesus, God. We pray that you stir your people up tonight, God. Help them, amen, to speak, amen, to poverty. Speak to lack, God. Speak to depression, God. Speak to family members, God. Speak to whatever they need to speak to, and not just be a sounding board for those who just pour what they want to pour in our spirit, God. Clean our spirit out again, God. Amen. Revive us once again, God. Shake off the old and put on the new, God. God, you're the only one that knows how to do that tonight, God. God, quicken us. Amen. Some of these things that we have talked about, we knew how to do, but somehow we have walked away from them, God. Forgive us, God, for walking away from these principles that should have become a lifestyle for us, God. Help us, amen, to put our hands back on the man mantle of this truth, God, and begin to ride it, amen, ride it in our homes and ride it on our jobs, ride it in the neighborhood, God, ride it everywhere we go, God, because we're King's kids, and amen, you've called us, amen, to be victorious, not when we get to heaven, but right now, God. Give us right now faith, God. And you said even now, while we not, my God, even though we don't see the things, we can still declare, amen, because faith, amen, amen, will give us the hope that we need. Hope, amen, will give us the endurance to hold on till we see the manifestation of those things that we're hoping for, God. He said, while we might look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal, God. Help us to prophesy our way out, God. Help us to go on the job tomorrow and say, bless this job, amen. Bless, amen, those who are working in authority in this place. Amen. Cause it to prosper. We have the ability to speak some things and it can come to pass if we speak according to you, your will, God. Let us be a blessing, God. Let us be a blessing, God. We've been blessed. Now let us be a blessing, God. God, God, help us to use the principle inviting you, amen, to move, amen, in our city, God, here in Kaiser, God. Let us not just be one to talk about, amen, what's going on in the city, but when we hear it, and if it's not your will, help us to open up our mouths, amen, and point to the north side and the east side of Kaiser and the west side of Kaiser and say, you know, we declare change is coming now. In the name of you, we invite the power of God, amen, to come in that area and change the hearts and the minds of the people. This we pray and ask now in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight, God. Come on and give God some praise right about now. Right where you at right now. Oh, God, give him praise. Amen. Amen. You deserve an upgrade. Hallelujah. That's what God said. You deserve an upgrade. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you got to have faith for it. You said, I need to receive my upgrade. Amen. Say that with me. I receive my upgrade tonight. I receive my upgrade tonight. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on, give God another hand clap. Come on, give him another hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, he's changing it. He's changing it. Even as you're praising him, he's changing it. Amen. You're not going to go back to that same old. You're going to look at it differently. If it doesn't change, you're going to see things differently. Come on and give God one more praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.